WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Good afternoon, I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. A new report explores what's behind ongoing enrollment decreases at Chicago Public Schools. My colleague Sarah Karp says the report attributes the enrollment loss to fewer babies being born. Also, more families are moving out of Chicago. And another factor has become more pronounced in recent years. Nearly 30% of school-aged children in the city are not even enrolled in Chicago Public Schools. Most are attending private schools.
Fewer families are choosing CPS, which is something indirectly in CPS's control, potentially, right?
Hal Woods is with Kid First. It's a parent advocacy group that did this analysis. With the Chicago Public Schools District grappling with a budget deficit, some people argue it should be closing low enrollment schools. Woods, though, says he thinks the discussion should focus more on whether students in these schools are getting a good educational experience. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is denouncing President Trump's threats to annex Greenland, and he's throwing support to Danish sovereignty. The retiring Illinois U.S. Senator was part of an 11-member bipartisan congressional delegation. It flew to Copenhagen over the weekend to affirm national ties between the U.S. and Denmark. And at an event today in Springfield, Illinois, Durbin stressed the country's historic alliance. He also likened Mr. Trump's threats of a hostile takeover of Greenland to Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
You know, when we say to Vladimir Putin, just because you want to own Ukraine doesn't mean you can do it. The same thing applies to this president.
Trump has threatened higher tariffs on goods from 8 EU countries by February 1st if they do not back his attempted land grab of Greenland. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul is reflecting on the one-year anniversary of President Trump's second inauguration. Flanked at a news conference by more than a dozen attorneys from his office, Raoul said the office has filed more than 50 lawsuits and 100 amicus briefs over the past year. Raoul sued over the president's executive order to eliminate birthright citizenship during the first week. He called that lawsuit deeply personal.
As a proud son of Haitian immigrants, born at the time that my mother was not yet naturalized, I am a birthright citizen.
Raoul says his office has helped protect more than $6 billion federal dollars slated for Illinois. And hundreds of people across Illinois and Missouri this morning reported feeling a small earthquake. The U.S. Geological Survey says a magnitude 3.8 quake struck near Ullman, Illinois, just before 1:30 in the morning. Ullman is located about an hour southeast of Springfield. The USGS says no damage has been reported so far. You're listening to The Rundown. In January 1966, Martin Luther King Jr. moved into an apartment in Chicago's North Lawndale neighborhood with his family. 60 years later, a local playwright, Willie Round, has written about this pivotal time in Dr. King's fight for fair housing, education, and employment. Round grew up in North Lawndale, and he returned to the neighborhood to talk about his new play, Lawndale King, with our theater reporter, Mike Davis.
Right now, we're standing in front of the Dr. Martin Luther King Legacy Apartments right here on 16th and Hamlin. And this is the ground zero where he and his family moved to Chicago, North Lawndale, West Side, to bring awareness to the Chicago freedom movement, as well as he came here to fight for employment, fair housing, and fair education for all.
What gave you the inspiration to write this play now?
At Central State University in Ohio, I went to Central State, took up a major in comm, and I was in an African-American art history class where there were pictures of the Great Migration, paintings of the Great Migration. I started going down that rabbit hole of the Great Migration and noticed that, hey, my grandfather, who was from Mississippi, this must have been his story, and this is how he got to Chicago. And then I saw a picture in the same book of Martin Luther King, this picture right here of him waving outside the window, and at the bottom of the picture it had West Side of Chicago, 1550 South Hamlin. And so that just ignited a whole bunch off in my brain about because my mindset while I was in college was that I'm ready to get away from Chicago. It's too much violence. I lost a lot of friends. It's nothing really here for me. I'm so glad I made it out. I never want to really go back to that place. And that's how I felt, honestly, about the place I was from. And then I came across Martin Luther King living in my neighborhood, and that just stuck with me. It liberated my mind. It made me feel like, wow, my community made history.
So you have to talk about who Dr. King was as a man.
Yes, yes.
How did you approach that part of the story?
In this play, what makes this play so different and why I really want people to come out and see it, because it humanizes Martin Luther King. There's moments in where he's caught in his pajamas just hanging around, talking about his favorite drink that he loves to drink, Bristol Cream Sherry, which I found out in his autobiography and a couple of documentaries. But Dr. King is shown in Lyndale King in a very humanized way. There's a scene where he's smoking cigarettes because when he was assassinated, that's exactly what he was doing. And we like to put him on this pedestal, which he deserves, but we also have to humanize him because that makes his work even greater, knowing that he was just a human, just like you and I. It's no difference, only that he had that determination and the energy to carry out certain missions for Black people.
I spoke with your director. He was really, really impressed by the amount of research that you had to do before writing this play. How long have you been in this process of getting this play to the stage?
It started off with reading testimonies from Mary Lou Finley, who was just a college student helping Martin Luther King organize, Andrew Young's book, and his testimony and interviews that shed light on what it was like to be next to the man who was the forefront of this impeccable mission and movement with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and things like that. So it was a lot of things that felt personal to me. And the research, it took 3 years to actually for me to be like, okay, I know enough about this and I feel confident enough to write it.
Lyndale King playwright Willie Round in conversation with our theater reporter, Mike Davis. Weather, it's a cold day becoming cloudy, high in the low 20s, and then tonight cloudy with 1 to 2 inches of snow likely, a low in the low 20s, and then Wednesday partly sunny, breezy, high near 30. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.